I just think gambling itself is getting so much bigger. It's becoming less stigmatized. And, you know, I wasn't really around 30 years ago, but I can assure you, I don't think it was, you know, you go on ESPN now and they're showing you lines as they're talking about the games. Like, it's crazy. Like, I just think the gambling space in general is growing so much. There's so much need or want for gambling content and not that much gambling, good gambling content out there. I started like a year and a half ago, and I'd say there's like 10 times more people doing it than like when I started like a year and a half ago. So I think I got lucky again and at good timing in getting into this. And now, like, there's a lot of people that'll be like, oh, like, Bretzky this, Bretzky that, like when talking about gambling, like, talking about someone, they'll be like, oh, he does, like, what Bretzky does. Like, I've heard people say that, which is, like, kind of cool to hear, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, I love everyone that I've gotten to meet in the space and stuff, so I think there's a lot more want to see people spinning slots and playing blackjack hands than, like, what's out there.
I've never thrown a bet in my life.
Never put a bet in your life?
Never.
Don't start. That's my best advice. I put my first bet in when I was like 13, and it's been all downhill from there. And then lately it's been slightly uphill, but, you know, it's pretty hard to stop.
Do you remember what your first bet was? Because when we were going down in the elevator to get you, I told him he's a Giants fan.
Yeah.
I remember my first bet ever was a Giants Thursday night football game. I was sitting in the library at Penn State, like, studying for a test the next day. And my buddy was like, yo, come on, just sweat this with me.
So yeah,
like,
all
right, I'll put 10 bucks on it. And then I paid 10 cents in VIG on every bet I've paid since.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember my first bet. But I do remember, like, my first big bet. My dad's, like, a big poker player, and he used to play in, like, home games, and I'd go with him and hang out and stuff. And so everybody's always obviously betting and doing all this. And I started betting a little bit, obviously way too young, shouldn't have been betting. But I remember it was Cam Newton versus Marcus Mariota in the national championship. And I was up, like, $2,000 on the year. And they were like, everybody knows the rule is if you're up at the end of the year, you got to put half of what you're up on the championship. So I was like, okay. So I put $1,000 on Cam Newton at Auburn to beat Oregon, and they did. So that was, that's like my core memory of my first bet. But,
is like a core memory just in general too, like, of like college football.
Yeah. It was pretty sick. I mean, two guys still in the league. I don't know if Marcus Mariota is, and Cam Newton actually definitely isn't. So two guys probably not still in the league, but they were very good in college and good for a little bit in the NFL.
So what was next? Like, what happened after that?
It sounds like when I'm betting 1,000 at 13 that, you know, some stuff was going on, but like growing up, my dad owned his own business, and like at that time it wasn't really anything special, and you know, he was betting more than he should have been, and I was obviously betting more than I should have been betting at all, but he would always not make me pay when I lost, so that was like the big thing for me. And then I obviously, if you can bet and not pay when you lose, I was winning a lot of money. And, my mom comes into my room one day and finds all this money. And she's like, where is this from? And I'm like, I've been betting with dad. And my dad's like, I didn't know he had that much. And, you know, it's not like they were struggling to pay bills or anything, but they definitely could have used it. So she's like, I'll take this and we'll give it back to you when you're old enough to have it. It was like $7,000-$8,000. They were like, what the hell is going on? So, my dad didn't keep good track of it. And we were stacking it up in the old safe under my bed.
Dude, that's clutch that your dad didn't make you pay. Because I remember my dad taught me how to play blackjack when I was probably like 10 or 11 years old. And I remember we were going down to Camden Yards for a Red Sox game once. And we were playing on the plane. And he was dealing me blackjack, like 50-cent hands, like dollar hands or something. And I ended up going down like 25 bucks, which is a lot of money for like a 10-year-old kid. And my fucking dad made me pay.
Yeah. I mean, most they should make you pay to teach you a lesson, you know. A lot of people growing up would be like, you shouldn't have your kid gambling, and you know, 99.99% of the time they're very right that young kids shouldn't be gambling, but I ended up luck boxing my way into a career of gambling, so career of losing, most people would say, but you know, it's turned out okay. He'll always call me and be like, everyone told me not to do it, but look at you now. And it's a funny thing we joke about. So
even though this is your career and you're, you know, gambling basically for a living, right? And you're posting as a content creator, your dad is like supportive
And my parents in general, even my mom, like even from the start, they were like, yeah, I can really tell, like, everybody growing up, I was always, you know, the loud kid in class and getting in trouble. And I got good grades, but, you know, I was always very different from everybody, and it was really nobody in my life that was like questioning it or doubting it at all, really. Once I started posting videos, I got pretty lucky. Like, my third video did like 8 million views, so that obviously helps, but there's never been one person that's like, wow, I'm very surprised that Brett is out there, you know, making content, making jokes and everything like that. I've always just kind of been like an outsider, like loud kid, so, you know.
How did you start posting, like, on TikTok, on Instagram? I mean,
so I was a salesman for a while. I was selling washer machines, then I was selling like healthcare services, then I was selling credit card processing. And when I say selling, I mean sitting in my bed, making no sales, doing nothing, collecting a paycheck, and
then betting it and not having to pay.
Yeah, and then betting the paycheck and living with my parents. And I had about $7,000 in my bank account, so I took $6,000, grabbed my buddy Brownie, we went to Vegas. We took trips to Vegas, and we always full sent it. Like, there are people with a lot more money than me and Brownie that would bet a lot smaller than me and Brownie. So we headed to Vegas. A bunch of the videos, it's funny, he has like all these videos of him giving me money and then me making a video. He's like, I'm going to expose you one day, this and that. So we combined money, and I just pumped out like 40, 50 videos. Like, we were doing like 5-6 a day, and then I was just posting one a day. So, like, you know, I had, like 50, 60 videos, and I would just post one a day. So everyone still to this day thinks I live in Vegas because I was there for so long. But then, like, I'm like, I'm back home in Boston. And they're like, how the hell were you in Vegas for 2 months? I was like, I was there for a week, but I just made, you know, 60 videos. But I got really lucky. Like, as anybody with any type of success, you know, you need some luck. And we are actually winning during that trip. So obviously it's a lot easier to make videos and, you know, online, people like it when you win. It contrary to popular belief, because I lose a lot, so people get pretty upset at me. They're like, all you do is lose, this and that. But yeah, I just went to Vegas, full sent my net worth and knew a bunch of videos, and kept posting. And for a while, it was I didn't get any loans from anybody. Nobody ever gave me any money, but it got pretty close to needing to do that. And then landed a couple brand deals, and haven't looked back since. But yeah, I just went to Vegas with way too much money irresponsibly and made a ton of content. So,
were you getting brand deals in that first like 2 month stretch out in Vegas?
No, not really. Like, even my girlfriend's very supportive of me too, and she was like, "We're not gonna keep spending $1,000 a week just to get views, right?" I was like, "Oh, we think something's coming." For like I said, man, for like 2 or 3 months, there's really no monetization at all, and I just was keeping it pushing and doing my best, and, you know, ended up getting pretty lucky.
So, what follower count, like, were you at when you got that first brand deal?
I gotta think. I honestly don't know. I know, like, that third video got me over 10K on TikTok pretty quick, but I was I'm not gonna name them because they're scammers. I had this casino approach me, an online casino. And they were basically like, yeah, we know you're in the U.S. and we don't have any. They didn't have like a social casino like Stake does. Shout out Stake. But they were just like, yeah, we know you're in the U.S. and most of your audience is the U.S. Like, we don't really care. We'll look the other way. And basically, they were accepting deposits from the U.S. people. And then when they tried to cash out, they were like, oh, you need to verify your ID. Oh, you're in the U.S. We're locking your account. So that was like a big thing I had to deal with. And I had to pay like a lot of my followers back. Like, I felt really bad that happened to some of them. So, yeah, that was technically my first brand deal. I ended up literally losing a lot of money because I was basically paying all the money back and then some. So that was
what prompted you to do that? Because that's like 100% not your responsibility. Yeah. I'd probably be saying sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
But like, what was the feeling like that you said, oh, I need to get these people?
Yeah, I mean, contrary to popular belief, you know, I'm a gambler, I'm kind of a hustler and this and that, but I do have like a pretty big heart, and I just, you know, I didn't feel right keeping money from a company that basically stole money from my followers and gave it to me. And there were a couple people, like, there was one kid that won like $15,000 and got stiffed, and like, to him, I was like, dude, like, I don't have money like that, like, I'll give you $2,000, and, you know, I was like kind of trying to strike deals with everyone, like, is it okay if I do this and that? And everybody was like really receptive. That kid didn't even want me to pay him at all, and I was like, I'm paying you, like, there's no question about it. I just, you know, I would never want, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of controversy, and you'll see it in their comments. And I don't really read comments that much or let it get the best of me, but I never really want someone to have like something actually concrete that I've done, you know, horribly that I'm worried about or anything like that. And like you said, I don't think a lot of people wouldn't pay him back and wouldn't really deal with anything from it. But it was just, you know, I'm getting all these messages from people like, I put my last $300 in, which I obviously would never recommend to do for anybody. But, you know, I just couldn't sit there and let the Beretzky fam get smoked like that. So
when you went out to Vegas that first time, was it like, I want to grow on social media? Like, I want to do this. I see people becoming influencers, making money online. Like, this is what I want to do. Or you were just like, I'm just going to fuck around with my boys.
I told my boys, I was like, I'm going to get TikTok famous. And it was mostly a joke at first. I was like, everybody's like laughing about it. I'm like, I'm going to start making videos, this and that. And I wasn't like, I wish I could tell you, like, I knew I was going to do this. I was going to get it done, this and that. But I really like, I thought maybe I could do it. And I made a couple jokes, but I definitely never thought it would get here. You know what I mean? So is yeah, pretty fortunate. Definitely what I was built to do, this gambling stuff.
What like time period, what year, and like
I started like a year and a half ago, so like okay. March 2023.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it's not, like really not
long at all. Yeah, it's it all happened pretty fast. So.
And then so once it really did start to pick up, what was like a moment that you were like, okay, wow, like this is really cool, like this is an opportunity because of social media that I've received, like whether it's meeting someone, going into an event, getting a sponsorship,
yeah,
that you wouldn't have imagined or been able to do before?
I mean, other than like getting paid, it was actually very recently Power Slap. So I got invited to like the VIP at Power Slap, and I was just there, and it was like, it's me, my buddy Brownie, and my other two buddies, and we're just standing there, and it's like FaZe Banks, John Rahm, Cam Newton, like, Insane Shane, the kid that catches the marshmallows.
Cam Newton,
like,
that's pretty full circle,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like Tfue, the Nelk boys, everybody. And we were just standing there, like, looking around, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, we should not be here. We are not at this level. But it was pretty crazy. Like, we had, like, she was like, oh, you're Beretzky, let me show you to your seat. And, like, all this stuff. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on right now? So that was probably, like, my biggest, like, crazy moment for sure.
What did you think of the whole Power Slap thing, the operation there, everything?
It was sick. I mean, I gotta be honest, it was like an open bar, free food, and every influencer I've ever been watching. So like I was way more happy and having fun with like the people there, but the event itself was sick. Like, people that doubt Dana White in any capacity and anything that he's doing, I just laugh at them, because it's like everybody just keeps saying the same things they said about the UFC about Power Slap. Like, oh, it's terrible. Like, it's gruesome. Who would ever watch that? And, you know, the UFC's at where it's at now. I don't know if it can ever get as big as the UFC, but I can definitely see it being like a cash cow and getting, you know, billions of views online.
Have you gotten to build a relationship or talk to Dana?
No, I mean, so it's funny. Dana's been eluding me. I got invited to like Nitro Cross, which is another thing that he bought. And they were like, you're Dana White's VIP guest and this and that. And I was like, whoa, like, what's, I was like, I'm going to get to meet Dana. And they were like, well, he might be in the room and he might be. So it was like, you know, just kind of a thing they used to get you in. And then they did kind of the same thing for Power Slap, but I'd liked Power Slap either way. Like, Nitro Cross is obviously wicked cool. Like, I would love to watch it if I'm there, but I'm not going to like fly out to Vegas to watch Nitro Cross. But, so he was also supposed to be, well, he was in like the high limit room afterwards, but like, I've never been really the guy to like go up to someone and be like, hey man, let me get a picture, let me talk to you and this and that. So like when I walked in the high limit room, it was just a mob of people and all this. So I got some social anxiety. So I'm like, I'm not doing this. So I just went back out and played blackjack by myself. And to go on a tangent, I ended up winning like 20,000 when at Power Slap. So that also made the night pretty sick. And like, everybody's like, oh, let's go see this person, let's go see this person. I'm like, we got to get the hell out of here, man. I just won 20K. I have to leave the casino right now. Like, I can't go in the room with all the influencers and everybody playing Baccarat. I'm going to put it on one hand and lose. So I got out of there after we won 20K pretty early.
Are influencers typically pretty bad gamblers?
I mean, I don't think so. Like, there's, you know, some people, like, I do pride myself on, like, bankroll management. Like, there's a lot of stories I hear of people that are like, yeah, I turned 5,000 into 60,000, then lost it all. And I'm like, that could legitimately never be me. Like, I might buy in for 1,000, get up to 3,000 and lose it. But if I ever have like a, you know, 2,000, a 50,000 run, like the most I'm going down to is like 40, 35K, something like that. So I do hear stories of like kids that make content on gambling online that like have those runs, which is pretty bad. But to shout out one guy, Bryce Hall, we've become pretty close or whatever, and I've gambled with him a couple times, and he actually hit a straight flush for like 250,000, which was sick. I wasn't actually there. I went the next day and saw him, and he almost hit another one actually, but he's like a really, really good gambler, and you wouldn't really assume that.
I've heard
like,
he's got some balls
too. Yeah, he's got balls, and he's like tight. Like, yeah. He's tight when he needs to be. Like, we were playing Ultimate Texas Hold'em. It was like four of us, and like, his two buddies were like kind of even. I was up like 1,200, but I was betting like a tenth of what they were betting. And like, he made like 20,000 in like 10 minutes. It was just like, yeah, I'm up 20,000. Like, can we leave? And everyone's like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever. Like, he's good at locking it up. Like, he's definitely not like an idiot to where like he'd win 250K and blow it back in a week. You know what I mean? But to what you said, he does have balls. I have seen him, and he's like, dude, I just lost 50K. I'm like, shit. I mean, at least you're rich, but you know, but yeah, I mean, he's got balls, but he's a pretty good gambler for sure.
You just talked about some of these like pretty big figures you've won, but a lot of times, like on your Instagram, you're turning, you know, $100 into $100 into 1,000 in three simple steps.
Yeah, yeah.
But so what videos do better, like the big denominations or the small denominations?
Yeah, so there's not much of a difference between like if I'm risking 100 or 300, you know what I mean? So I kind of try to keep it to like 100 or 200 a video most of the time. But like my biggest ever YouTube video is when this guy reached out to me. He's like a billionaire, and he was playing two slots at once, doing 2,500 a spin, fast spinning both slots. He was down like 600,000 and then won like over $1 million back to like, so that's like my biggest ever YouTube video. So like if you can get to that level, it goes crazy. But like as for like 100 versus 200 versus 300, there's not really much of a difference. But people definitely do love the big wins. Like those are like you said, the three-step plan. One of my three-step plans, a successful one, did like almost 30 million views on Instagram. So like people do like to see you win, but it's also like, it's not like you can just win whenever. Oh, let's go make a good video today. Let's win. It's like I'm never really deleting any video unless it's like, you know, out of focus or something like that. Like I always like to show my losses and my wins just so people know that like you're gonna lose when you gamble. Like people will always be like, oh, you never win, like casino's rigged. I'm like, do you think you're supposed to go to the casino and make money? Like if you lose, that's what's supposed to happen. It's not rigged. So
what does that three-step plan like normally consist of? Like walk us through just like typically your mindset going in for like the best, you know, results.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, it doesn't really have to do with me, because you know, at Encore, they don't let me film tables, so I'm going to machines anyway. But the three-step plan is it's a $100 blackjack hand, then two $100 roulette spins, and I have like these five numbers and then green that I always bet. It's like my birthday, my brother's birthday, my parents and my girlfriend's birthday, and then I bet green. So like I'll put like $15 on each of those. And then if I hit, it's 540, and then I do $500 all-in baccarat hand. So it goes blackjack, roulette, baccarat for the three-stepper.
And what's, like, the most drop-off, like, on that?
It's usually roulette. I mean, you know, I'm only betting seven numbers out of 36, so there's a lot of times where I'll win the blackjack hand and lose on the roulette. That's definitely the biggest drop-off. It's the hardest spin-up for sure.
Do you still feel like, I mean, it's hard for, like, I don't even know what this feels like, but, like, what does it feel like when you do, like, lose? Like, on a small level or a big level, like, what is that feeling like? Or win, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when I lose, I don't really sweat it too much. Like, I have pretty budgeted out, like, my vlogs and stuff. Like, I basically risk what I know I'm going to make on the vlog. So, it's kind of like a free roll. Like, if I win, that's great. If I lose, you know, you get more exposure, you get YouTube money, all that kind of stuff. So I don't really sweat the losses because, like I said, I'm never really going with 10K and lose. Like, I don't know if I've ever bought in one night for 10K and lost. Like, I don't think that's ever happened. You know, I might bring 20K to Vegas for 2 weeks and lose the 20K. That happened recently. But, you know, it's like a lot of small win, like losses and stuff. And as long as I'm getting content, like, again, I've been doing this a long time with no cameras. Like, when I was selling washer machines, shout out Reedy, we'd get paychecks and go straight to Twin River, and I'd lose both our paychecks and have to pay him back the next week with my paycheck. So, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and those losses hurt a lot more than this. The only time losses hurt really now is, like, when I don't record. Because, like I said, like, I do like to gamble. Like, it's not a – I think that's, like – people always try to make content, but if it's not something you actually enjoy, I think people can see through that. So, like, I love gambling, and I've been gambling my whole life. And so, like, if I lose, like, 3,000 and I didn't record it, I'm, like, pissed. I'm like, dude, like, you got to figure it out. But, like, if I have a sick vlog of, like, me losing 2,000 in roulette, like, I really don't sweat it really at all. But and then, obviously, winning is obviously sick. But... I don't really feel too bad when I win and don't record it.
You talk about how, like, Encore and, like, probably most casinos, like, you can't film at the tables. What type of, like, how have you kind of navigated that? Obviously, playing the, like, machines and stuff, like, that's easier for you. But, like, is there certain places that you, like, just can't even go to and, like, step foot of? And, like,
it's funny. Encore, there's been one person ever that's come up to me and said, like, hey, you can't film slot machines. And I was like, okay. And then one time I was filming a blackjack hand, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and this guy's like, hey man, I'm the security manager here. And I was like, oh god, what's gonna happen here? He's like, love your videos, man, keep it up. I was like, what the hell? So people get mad at me sometimes. Like, I started doing this thing called the reveal, and, like, I'll take 100, I'll crumple it up, and then I'll open my hand up after I go gamble. And, like, people will always say, like, oh, you're not actually gambling, this and that, because, like, they don't understand that I can't film. Or people will say, stop playing virtual machines. What are you doing? You should play tables. And I'm like, they don't let... If they let me film tables, Encore, Foxwoods, Mohegan, MGM Springfield, if any of them let me film tables, I would only be going there once or twice a week, getting a ton of content, filming tables, and that's what I'd be doing. But there are a couple places now, like very recently in Vegas, that will let me film tables, like Resorts World and Rio and Durango and El Cortez and stuff. So they let me film tables, but... if I could film tables, especially Encore, because I live 10 minutes away, like, that would be a huge game changer. But I kind of just, you know, do what I can, just film the machines because I have to. And sometimes people get mad, but it is what it is.
Do you think that over time that'll change, like, as this becomes more popular? And,
yeah,
and
I definitely do. I mean, there's, like, there are people in Vegas, especially, like, spearheading it, and, like, they've seen great success from it. So I think that'll, you know, branch out. As for Encore... like, Wynn in general, like, their company, they make so much money that it's, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, you know, there's not a lot of competition, which is why, like, you know, in business and economics, it's good to have competition because, like, you know, it makes everybody change and stuff. So I'm not sure if they'll ever let me film at Encore, but in Vegas especially, like, every casino, I think even, like, MGMs are starting to let, like, you know, big guys like John Sarasani, he'll bet $10,000 a hand, they let him film, obviously no problem. But they're even starting to let some of my buddies like Casino King film, like betting like $100 to $500 a hand in blackjack. So I can definitely see, like, you know, we're going more towards social media and everything in the world in general, so I can definitely see casinos being more apt to let people like me film there.
Do you think that that's going to be, like, the like the choice of the casino? Or do you think you need a good relationship with your host who can then kind of go to the, you know, the floor manager, the pit boss, to kind of advocate on your behalf?
That's how I got in at Resorts World. This guy, shout out John, he hooked me up with them and got me to film at Resorts World in Vegas. So I definitely think it helps, obviously, having someone in your corner. But, yeah, I mean... It obviously can't do any hurt, but at the end of the day, you know, filming in a casino is very, like, taboo. And, like, you know, 2 years ago, I'm sure they wouldn't even consider it. And now they're kind of starting to. But no matter who you have in your corner, if they're not at the top, they can just get shut down pretty easy. But obviously, it always helps.
So you said you kind of, you're pretty good at, like, not letting the losses matter. I'm going to bring up a loss that I know you had. And you're going to be like, wow, how does this kid know it? But, tell us about UFC Boston when you got smoked on Aljo.
Oh, all right. Sean O'Malley, I hate your guts. I love you. You buried me, man. I had like $3,000. This is before I was even making content. I had $3,000 on Sean O'Malley to beat Cheeto the first time they ever fought. He breaks his leg, breaks his foot, whatever. He loses. He went around saying, I'm undefeated, I'm undefeated, I'm undefeated. So since then, I've been like, I hate this guy. Like, I love everything he does. I love the skits. I love the smoking weed and all that kind of stuff. I like him as a person. But him saying he had no losses when he had one loss, and it was a loss I lost a ton of money on, I've just been betting against him every single fight. And obviously, now he's the champ. He's defended the belt. Like, I'm going to UFC at the Sphere. Whoa. I just bought tickets. I'm pumped. I'm seeing him there. I'm not even betting the fight. I'm not betting because I've been fading him every single fight. Obviously, I'm down tremendous. He owes me a bunch of money. We don't want to talk about it, but I'm not betting that fight. I'm going. I'm watching. I'm rooting for him. I honestly want him to knock out Merab. It'd be sick, but he's, yeah, like you said, I went to UFC Miami. He fought there. I lost there. Sean O'Malley, dude, he's cost me like legit $15,000-$20,000 just from saying that he had no losses when he had one loss. I've had a vendetta against him, and he's kicked my ass.
And you were at the Garden last year?
I was at the Garden. I love UFC. Me and my boys go to UFC all the time. We saw like John Jones in Vegas and a couple of my buddies. I actually didn't go to this fight, the one Jorge Masvidal flying knee. We were all in Vegas for that. Some of them went. I didn't. But I actually, side note, played poker with Masvidal for like 6 hours right before his fight with Nate Diaz. It was like 2 a.m. and he's playing poker. I'm like, what are you doing, Jorge? He's like, I like to play poker late at night to like keep my brain going so that like when I fight at midnight, it's not like late for me. I was like, that's actually pretty cool.
How is he?
He's cool. He was super cool. Like, it was like a bunch of my buddies, like all like influencers, like recording and stuff. And then we had one empty seat and the floor manager was just like, I got you guys. He brings over Jorge. We were like, what the, like, thank you. Like, whatever. And he's like, at first he was like, kind of like, oh, all these guys are filming. Like, what's up with this? But by the end of the night, like, he was dapping everyone up. Like, he'd win. He did end up getting cooler. Like, last hand he lost and he went home. But he was super, super cool all night.
So, who else was at the table there?
It was like, just like poker guys, like me, On Tilt Nick, Corey Eyring, a couple of my buddies. I don't think Sethy was there that night, but just a bunch of like poker content creators. It was actually a really fun game. I got smoked. I think I lost like 4,000. I can never play, like, I started out playing more poker, and like I can play good in tournaments when I want, but like when it's my buddies and it's cash and I can just rebuy, like, I'm terrible. I just want to cooler everyone. Like, I'm like, I got 3-6. I know you got a big hand. Like, I'd rather lose trying to smoke you so I can show you my hand than win. So I don't play pretty good when it's against my friends.
Besides UFC, what other sports are you like following closely?
I mean, I don't really bet anything nowadays other than football. So, I mean, I love football. I don't really know much about like any sport. I was a very bad athlete growing up, so I played soccer like up until junior year of high school, and I kept kicking the ball over the net, so he wanted me to play JV as a junior, so then I switched to football, and I was the kicker. So I was never really an athlete. I can't dribble a basketball, hit a baseball, or do any of that, so I don't really follow like players and like stats and all that, but I obviously bet. I used to bet on everything, but I've toned it back to really just football, so.
College or NFL?
Both. Yeah. Both. I just, betting on football is sick. And I don't really make a lot of content around betting. So I try to keep it, you know, like I said, I don't really like to lose if it's not for the camera nowadays. I do. I try not to, but I lose thousands of dollars off camera. But I've curtailed my betting to really just football. There's no way I can sit at home on a Sunday watching Red Zone and not have some skin in the game, so.
You got any futures for this year?
I do. I have $3,000 on the Jets not to make the playoffs, and I have $1,000 on the Ravens not to make the playoffs. That one's a long shot, but the Jets, I had it last year, same bet, $3,000. Jets don't make the playoffs. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers goes down, so I was like, that's good, but I still, it's the Jets, man. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's just free money every year. Now that they got Aaron Rodgers and they got hype, you get good odds on it. It's just bet the Jets not to make the playoffs. It's easy.
Any other big hot takes like that?
No, not really. Not really with football. Like I said, I don't really know that much about football. So like that's probably why I bet the Ravens not to make the playoffs when they're a great team. But yeah, I just kind of look at the lines. Like I don't really, you know, I don't know. I couldn't name you 5 players on the Ravens, but I know they're not making the playoffs this year. I did see, actually, they just got Derrick Henry, which I didn't know when I bet it. not ideal, but I just like to fade the public, really, when it comes to, you know, if everyone's really hyped on a team, I'm like, they're going to win three games, you know, so.
That's usually a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, fading the public usually works, but although somehow I fade the public and the public loses and I lose and nobody ever wins, so. Yeah.
What talk about the, you know, the Bruins and the Celtics, that's where we met. Like, talk about kind of that championship run for the Celtics this year and what it was like going to so many games.
Yeah, it was sick. I mean, I just moved, like, really close to TD Garden, so that was I was going to all the games, walking all the games, having a blast, and yeah, I mean, I couldn't have picked a better year, really, to move next to the Garden because, you know, the Celtics obviously won it all, and the Bruins, they made a run, you know what I mean? They won some playoff games, playoff series. So, yeah, I have a blast going to the games and stuff. Like, like, the Celtics now, I could name you a bunch of players, but, like, as for the Bruins, like, I might name three players on the team, if that. So, I don't really know much about the sport, but being there and the atmosphere and, you know, having a couple beers going to the games is obviously sick.
Boston's, like, such a hockey town, too. Like, I feel
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of NHL stadiums. Like, I went to the Panthers. My parents have a house in Florida. So I went to, like, last year or the year before when they played the Panthers. And, like, it was literally, like, a Boston crowd. Like, they travel well in, like, Florida, Miami. They don't really care about hockey. So, like, it's pretty crazy just, like, being from Boston and just everyone having so much love for the sports that, like, you know, they just... They travel well, and there's no place really like it, so it's pretty sick.
What's next for Gretzky? Like, do you have any big goals other than just kind of, you know, like building your content through the gambling grind right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything like too concrete that I want to make happen. You know what I mean? Obviously, growing and meeting more people and just, you know, enjoying life and trying to set it up that, you know, right now I have a pretty good gig. I work 12 to 15 hours a week and, you know, do a lot better than when I was selling washing machines and stuff. So I just like to keep, you know, the work-life balance there. You know, I'd much rather make, these are random figures, this is not what I make, but I'd much rather make like $100,000 a month and not, and I'd much rather work 12 hours a week and make $100,000 a month than work 40 hours a week and make $500,000 a month. You know what I mean? Like, for me, it's just like low effort, medium reward. That's just kind of how I've been my entire life. Just like the least amount of effort with the most amount of success possible.
Have you ever heard of like the 80-20 principle? Because that's what it's like a more like technical like term, but it's like 80. It's like 20% of your efforts equate to 80% of the outcome, and then the other 80% of your efforts only equate to 20%. So there's like a lot of inefficiencies there where like if you just hone in on like what's efficient and like the 12 hours a week that like is actually going to make you money and like be effective, then you're and then you just eliminate the rest and like you cap yourself off a little bit, but like not by a ton.
I've never heard of that, but that is exactly what I do. like I could make 40 hours. I could work 40 hours and, you know, put out quadruple the content and I'd probably grow a little faster, probably grow a lot faster, but I mean that I've never heard that, but that's
he's
how
gonna start quoting you now.
Yeah, start quoting it right there. What is like a day, like just like, or like you could say like a week, but like a week or like a day like in your like schedule?
So yeah, I mean it's funny, I stream four times a week, so I go live Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m to 11 p.m so that's 8 hours, and then I go to the casino twice. I film like 3 or 4 shorts and then like a vlog each time. So I'll put out like, I've been kind of slacking lately. And when I go to Vegas, it's probably because when I go to Vegas, I'll do much more. Cause like, obviously I'm in Vegas. Like I can film, there's people there. I'm doing collabs and stuff. But when I'm in Boston, I'll go to the casino twice a week. I'll stay for an hour. If that, you know, I'm making 3-4 shorts that takes 10-20 minutes. And then I'll record a vlog that takes another 20-30 minutes. I go there twice, I do 4 streams, and then kind of just wake up and don't really know what to do. Like, my girlfriend has a job, like, working 40 hours a week in, like, a lab, and, like, I'm always telling her, like, you should quit, do that, like, whatever, do what you want to do, like, work 25, 30 hours a week, like, at, like, an after-school program. She used to do that, like, watching kids and stuff, but, yeah, I mean, I really don't do much, man. I wake up, I try to go to the gym. As you can see, I don't go to the gym that often, but Yeah, I go to the casino twice a week, 4 live streams from my spare bedroom. And yeah, it's not really too exciting for the most part, just hanging out. I just hired Brownie, the guy I've mentioned. I hired him full time. So he works with me now, and he'll come over, 2-3 days a week, hang out. We'll go to the North End, get some food, come back.
Tough job for him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tough job. It's always so funny. Like, I was in Vegas for a long time, and he didn't come. Like, he came the first 2 weeks, and then he didn't come the second 2 weeks. And, we're out on my balcony, and I just see him, like, taking a picture. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, just taking a picture. And on his Snapchat, it's just like, back to work. And he's just like on my balcony hanging out. So, I always, all you got is your friends and your family. So I love having him around and making his life a little bit easier and stuff. So, we're kind of just big chilling right now. Like, the 80-20 rule, which I've known for years, kind of, makes me think that, maybe I should work a little bit harder than I do. There's definitely times where, I'll go a week without posting a vlog, and I get pretty on myself for that. But, there's not really a lot that goes in. I wish I could tell people, like, I'm grinding every day. Like, the hardest I've ever grinded was when I was doing this challenge. It was like, go to the casino every day and spin $100 spin until I got a hand pay. And it was like 40 days in a row where I literally had to go. Like, there was like, I had a golf tournament in the Cape at like 9 a.m. So I had to get up at like 5 a.m. to drive to the casino to then drive back to the Cape. And like, that was the hardest I'd ever grinded in my life. I never want to do another challenge like that. So that was like the hardest thing. But yeah, other than that, man, I go to the casino twice a week. I stream out of my spare bedroom, which is a blast. Like, just, I feel like I'm like hanging out with my buddies. Like, I see the same names in the chat and stuff. And it's been growing pretty good. And, I'll get like over 1,000 viewers on Kick now. So that's pretty sick. And the chat's moving pretty quick, but I still see the same, 10, 15 guys that have been watching me from the beginning. So I really get a lot of joy out of streaming. And, it's true what they say. If you like what you do, you never work a day in your life. So I've been lucky enough to accomplish that in ways I never thought possible.
How sustainable do you think like this career is? Like, how long will you be doing this?
I think it's very sustainable, to give you a short answer. Like, I just think gambling itself is getting so much bigger and like more legal and more out there, and it's becoming less stigmatized. And, I wasn't really around 30 years ago, but I can assure you, I don't think it was, you go on ESPN now and they're showing you lines as they're talking about the games. Like, it's crazy. Like, I just think the gambling space in general is growing so much, and there's so little people in the gambling space that are like really out there doing it. Like, I've told my buddies to start doing it, and like, 'cause there really is like, so there's so much need or want for gambling content and not that much good gambling content out there. So, I feel like it's pretty sustainable. I feel like I got in at a very good time where, like, I feel like I said, I started like a year and a half ago, and I'd say there's like 10 times more people doing it than like when I started like a year and a half ago. So I think I got lucky again and at good timing and getting into this. And now, like, there's a lot of people that'll be like, oh, like, Bretzky this, Bretzky that, like when talking about gambling, like talking about someone, they'll be like, oh, he does like what Bretzky does. Like, I've heard people say that, which is like kind of cool to hear, you know what I mean? But I love everyone that I've gotten to meet in the space and stuff. So, but I do think there's a big gap in like I think there's a lot more want to see people spinning slots and playing blackjack hands than like what's out there.
And from the brands and like the casinos and Vegas, there's so much money to spend on creators and on advertising. And like, it's like any other industry where it's like, from your typical billboard or newspaper ads, it's going to content creators. And like, this is an industry with content creators and casinos and online or whatever. Like, they've always been spending millions and billion, like, so much money.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just going to go in the hands of content creators.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I've met guys, with 20 times the followers of me that are like, yeah, I'm making this, I'm making that. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I always thought, like, if you had 2 million Instagram followers that you were making like crazy money. But like, They're gambling creators with 50K followers that make way more money than people with 3 million Instagram followers that make, like, coffee drinks online. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such, like, a lucrative space to be in. It's pretty crazy, you know, than just making, like, funny videos and stuff like that. So, yeah, the advertisers spend a lot of money on people, for sure.
In your free time, because you have a lot of it too, like what else do you like to do?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could give you a good answer, man. I've been trying to get off my phone more lately. You know, I like to eat. I like to find new places to eat. You know, I like to I do play some video games. You know, I've been playing Call of Duty and stuff like my whole life, so I do love video games, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to, like, that's, like, the biggest part of my day is, like, finding something to do. Because, like, I just have so much free time that's, like, over the last couple months, that's something I've really tried to zero in on. And, you know, I used to smoke weed basically every single day for 12 years, all day, every day. And I haven't smoked weed in 9 days. So that's pretty big for me.
Congrats.
And I'm trying to get away from that because I think that's just really what made me more lazy, like, over the past 9 days, I'm not going to say I've transformed completely as a person, you know what I mean? But I definitely have found myself, like, less content with just, like, sitting on the couch watching Netflix, you know what I mean? So I hope, you know, over the next couple months, I can start to find, like, healthier ways to spend my time, for sure.
Where do you and your buddies go in the North End?
Oof. I mean, Carmelina's is sick. It's my so favorite. Hard to get into. They actually, it's funny. I went there with my parents and the chef at Carmelina's was like, dude, I love your videos. Like, no way. He's like sending us out like free appetizers and shit. And I'm like, hey man, I mean, is there like a little link you can give me to get reservations here or something? I mean, you love me so much. I mean, can I start coming more often? But yeah, me and my girlfriend like Mare, that's pretty good. And, I've only lived here for like 3 months, but like a month of that has been in Vegas, so we're trying to, you know, not go to the same place twice, so we've been bouncing all over the place. But like the DePasquale, I think that's how you say it, those, like, that conglomerate of restaurants, usually it's not great when someone has a monopoly on restaurants and stuff, but I've been to a lot of those and they're all pretty good, so can't complain.
I got a good story for you right here regarding the North End. So last week I went to Limoncello for the first time.
Yeah.
Limoncello, great restaurant. Have you been there before?
Yeah, I went there.
Okay, so I went with my buddy Corey, friend of the pod, great kid. But he was telling me, we met the owner. Owner was a great guy. Yeah. Owner had worked at the spot right next to Limoncello for years. And it was always his dream to open up a restaurant. Yeah. And he just, you know, could never scrap together the bread because it's very expensive to do that. Mm-hmm. You need like $1 million to do it.
Yeah.
And every now and then he'd play a scratch ticket. And then one day, hits a scratch ticket and he fucking wins that $1 million he needed.
So
then he used that money and he opened up a spot directly next to the place he used to work.
Holy.
And then now it's a North End staple. Yeah. My buddy's family's been going there for years. They treat him like family. So that guy's name, I'm drawing a blank on it now.
Is it Mauricio?
Very well could be. Yeah, very well could be.
Because I went on a food tour with this guy, and it's called North End Food Tour. Shout out them. But he hooked me up with Limoncello, and I think it's Mauricio. He works at the front. I don't know if he owns it. I think he owns it. But he's like, go in, drop my name, you'll get right in. It's like mad people waiting. I'm like, I was like, yeah, I know this guy, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, come right with me. I'll give you the last table in the whole restaurant and whatever. So I'm blanking on his name. I think it's John, but North End Food Tour on Instagram. But he hooked me up with them. And, yeah, we actually just ate there with my girlfriend's family, and that place is sick. But that is so cool that he spun that up from a scratch ticket. That's
I
nuts.
Think, too, because you told me that. And then I was in the North End this past weekend, and I ran into someone, and they were talking about that story again because they had just been there. And he bought the scratch off from that little cafe that's on the corner of Hanover that's not like a gelato shop.
Yeah.
That used to be like a corner store, and he bought the scratch off there too. So stayed in the neighborhood too.
That is so crazy, dude.
That's like everybody's dream, you know, just like the lottery to freedom pipeline.
Yeah, for sure.
It's but crazy. Brett, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Go Patriots.
Yeah, go Pats, baby.
Go Giants.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Awesome.